Welcome to episode 9 of the Barnsley podcast.
Yo.
Another episode coming to you only a couple of weeks after the last episode. So, yeah, our content is coming a lot quicker now that we've got the new studio set up. And on top of that, we've got a double guest line up today. We've got Mitch and we've got Jezza. So, welcome, boys.
Welcome. Hey. Welcome back.
Thanks, guys.
Good to fill up the room with multiple microphones and, yeah, getting it all sorted. So, let's just jump right into it. Jezza, I believe that you've got a couple of topics that we want to bring up. I think that you mentioned, was one of your topics MH70? Was that one of the things you wanted to bring up?
Oh, not really, no. We were just reading a bit about that earlier.
Yeah.
I did read something about the wreckage having a lot of shrapnel evidence.
I saw a photo of that just before. I don't know much about it.
I did see on the news the other day, on the news they were carting the wreckage into the Netherlands for further analysis.
Yeah, I saw that, the train.
It was all wrapped up like a big Christmas present. You know, all these orange sheets were covering the whole thing, so you couldn't really see much.
Well, it was a thing where there wasn't any access to the site for, like, ages. Apparently it was, like, bodies in the field for, like, a couple of weeks. And there's, like, YouTube...
What, like, the bodies, like, remained at the site, or people didn't have access to the body?
There was a big thing that they were, like, decomposing, and, like, there was footage on YouTube of people just going up and, yeah, like, rebels, like, pulling people, like, you know, their bodies and showing, like, their face and, like, holding up their, like, head to, like, get IDs and, like... These are, like, not trained first responders, you know. These are just, like, you know.
Well, even civilians were getting to the site and apparently looting the bodies.
I saw that as well. And that you can see that footage on YouTube. Yeah, there's, really? Like, people going through suitcases.
Yeah, going through wallets and stuff, trying to find passports that they can sell and all their personal. That was when it first happened. I remember seeing footage and reports of that.
Oh, lovely.
And how long ago was that? And now we're only just getting it. Like, how much of it can you trust? Because how much of it has been tampered with?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of, like, I watch a lot of those air crash investigations. I think we've talked about it on the podcast before. And the thing, I know I'm not learning much from a TV show, but the thing that they do tend to show is that the amount of time when they get the wreckage is a big thing. Now, they have found wreckage that is, like, bottom of the ocean and still being able to, like, forensically recreate what was wrong. But it seems like a lot of this wreckage was, like, exposed to the elements and, you know, looked like forklifts and stuff were picking up the bits. Like, it wasn't kit gloves. So is that going to affect what kind of thing they can reconstruct from the evidence? Those air crash investigation shows, I've seen some where it's been a complete, like, disintegration of the plane pretty much, where there's not one part that's much bigger than, say, the door, the flight door. And they go into a warehouse, and sometimes it takes a couple of years, but they show they completely recreate. Like, they'll get it like a wire frame, which is the shape of the fuselage, and just, like, every bit that they find, like a jigsaw puzzle, put it all back together.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when they do that, they're like, look, we just can't do this part of the puzzle, and this must be where something blew out first, or... They can actually start to see, like, fire trail burns coming from one part. And once they've got the fuselage recreated, they can figure out the stream of that and then, oh, okay, that was that fuel line. But with that Russian shoot-down thing, like, there was heaps of footage and reports of, I can't remember what they call it, but it's like this missile system that's on, like, a truck. And they were showing it going into the area. And then they showed it leaving the area and going back over the border, missing one shell. Have you seen any of the footage of that?
No.
Yeah, they said it was like a Russian anti-air thing. And they pretty much confirmed that that's what shot it down, but they don't know who shot it.
Whether it was Ukrainian rebels,
whether it was the Russians themselves. And then there's conspiracies that, you know,
the wild
allies did it themselves raise concern in that area.
But the thing that I heard when it first came out was that whoever had shot it was basically not trained to be operating a piece of weaponry at that level.
I do remember.
So they were used to using, like, shoulder-held
Yeah, yeah.
devices, and then you know, and this was isn't that what the news that came out, that it was Russian technology? But the Russians were disputing whether it was actually Russian troops. They're saying it was
UK. That was another big thing about the questions that were raised, was the altitude that the plane was flying at. And the airline came out saying, no, we were, because all of the other airlines at that time were diverting around that area, and apparently it was, it's more expensive to divert. So that's why Malaysian Airlines decided, no, we're going to keep going this. But the protocol was for, even when there's a war zone or a conflict zone, you can fly at, I can't remember the number, it might be 30,000 feet.
I heard 30.
Yeah. Is considered safe because those shoulder-based ballistics won't reach you there. But those, I can't
this
remember.
This was a
Is it SAM missile?
I think it's system? AA, man, because, you know, I'm pretty sure it's anti-air that...
Those definitely can hit you at 30,000. It wasn't a shoulder, it was a vehicle with big fucking missiles. Which means not just one lone dude that was like, oh, you know. I also heard that
premeditated for sure.
But what I was talking about as far as the training is not just in the use of the missiles, but more so being able to detect the difference between a military and a commercial flight. And they were saying that this person that operated this machinery really shouldn't have been operating, whoever he was, because he was not trained to that level. And one of the main things was being able to detect, and so it shouldn't have happened.
Sounds like a really easy story to put out there, though.
I suppose.
For sure.
I heard that there was a culture of... shoot anything down as well. Like a lot of those soldiers that were on the ground at the time, those Russian, you know, rebels and whatnot, they had a, like, there was an air of, let's get anything out of the sky that we can get. And they were going for, like, cargo planes and things like that.
They had put a couple down in the week previous.
That's right, So there's the question of, did they just think that was a cargo plane? I think there was also, I've seen online, there was some radio communication that was released where it was like, I don't know, easily faked, but it was like, yeah, Russian voices going, you know, civilian plane, you know, and then shoot it, you know, fire, engage.
Oh, what?
I did hear that.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. So it was, I saw it on Al Jazeera. I did see it on the news. It's not just on the internet that I saw it, but they had some, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I definitely saw it, and I heard
it was footage of someone acknowledging that it's a civilian plane and saying to shoot it anyway.
I don't know if it was before the fact. I think it was actually after the fact, and they were going, oh, shit, oh, was it a civilian plane?
Yeah, I've seen that, but I haven't seen what you're talking about.
Well, I could be getting confused. I thought it might have been as they were spotting it and then getting a confirmation of, no, take it out.
But I'm pretty sure I heard radio shit of like, oh, there's a plane being shot down. It's definitely civilian, you know, a lot of people dead.
But can I just ask, do any of you guys think that it was like a premeditated attack? Like it was meant to, they knew it was, like, do any of you guys think that's what happened? Or do you think it was an accident?
What do you reckon, Jezza?
I don't want to make any decision on it, really. I'm not big on it. I've read a fair bit about it, but I've read some wacky theories that they were guided into that airspace.
Yep.
For some reason. Whether it be a mistake
That's interesting. Why would they be guided in there?
Well, exactly.
Like a real juicy theory that I haven't heard, but usually the more juicy ones are like people that were on board, and there was this foreign affairs minister of this country that didn't play ball at the last, you know, cabal meeting. So they were like, all right, this is, you know. I haven't heard any of those.
Well, have you heard the one about that was actually MH370? Have you heard that one?
Yeah.
That it disappeared and now it's like being shot. It's all been planned.
Holy shit, they had a fucking lot of fuel. It didn't last that long.
So MH370, again, is another fucking weird one. Like the fact that there's just nothing. No shrapnel, we've talked about this in the podcast before, but in the year 2013, 14, whenever it happened, the fact that the technology doesn't exist for us to be able to pinpoint to its last beacon point where it went down.
So weird. They're about to finish the search area too.
They just released what they've already searched on the news the other night, and it shows this. It's like one of the biggest seabed mappings of that area ever. It's like something like 200,000 square kilometers. And they just show this like terrain computer graphic. And they're like, that's not been human search. That's with our bot technology. So they've got like drones that have been going out there scanning the seabed floor. But even that, won't
that go along the bottom of the ocean.
I think so. Remote control, fucking.
I think
boat bots.
I think they're like it's that thing they float. I think that floats on the water behind, and they have to go really, really, really slow, and it does it by sonar. I'm pretty sure.
I heard a thing about MH370. I can't remember where I heard of it. They were talking about that. This should bring attention to the fact about how little planes are actually tracked on these massive flights over these long stretches of ocean and how far the pings are between that it's not people have this concept that they're constantly monitored all the way
and that's it. It's the
distance between the satellites and
completely. Like that spun me the fuck out when that plane went down. And have you ever been on a plane where they show you a map? And your plane and you're blipping along the map.
Yeah.
Like I thought that just meant to me in my mind when I see that every plane's got that, and it's not just the people in the plane that get that, but there's someone on the ground that's seeing a blip as well.
That's what they want you to think.
Funny you say that, because I was watching a plane the other day. I obviously, wait for a lot of planes at the airport.
I shoot birds at the airport.
Anyway, I was tracking
one. Don't you work at a chicken shop?
Yeah. That's what I wanted to be, but things didn't go as planned. So I was tracking this plane, and all of a sudden it was coming from Adelaide or Melbourne or somewhere locally, and it just disappeared. For ages, and I was doing a search, and it just not found.
Is this the online track a plane website?
Yeah, there's a few of them. Yeah. I was on this particular one, and it shows all the other flights around it, and it just disappeared. And I thought, oh, what's going on?
It's done a loss.
It's done an MH something.
Then it come back on the radar, obviously.
Yeah, appeared from the dimension to which it went.
See, that's the other thing. Like, if there's that website that you can track, and I've known people that have. Waiting for people coming overseas to visit them, and they've been able to log on to that website and see where their plane is, and they mostly do it to see if there's a delay, if it's due to come in at the right time. But it's it's at this coordinate. So if did that plane just not have it, I guess that's just maybe an estimation, a computer estimation based off those ping points.
They have a flight plan and and at this point we should be here.
When your GPS actually loses connection to the satellite. Instead of it freaking out, I've noticed this on my car GPS now. The old school GPS, as soon as it lost signal, it's like, I'm fucked. File error, whatever. Now it just takes where you were, it takes the speed that you're traveling at, and it just assumes you're going to maintain that until it sees the satellite again. And maybe that's the kind of thing that's happening with those websites showing the planes, is that, we only spoke to it 2 hours ago. But according to how fast it's going and the flight path that it's taking, we can give you a blip on a radar that makes you think that we're tracking it by second. But, it's fucking freakish, man.
A lot of assumptions are made.
So here's my... Here's my question is, this do you know the theory of Schrodinger's cat with the, when the box is closed and if it's not observed, it's technically alive and dead at the same time, right? So my question is that plane that disappears off the blip.
Yeah.
Does that exist at that point? Because there's no one else to actually observe whether it exists.
So
and then is it in this state of quantum flux where it exists and doesn't exist at the same time? And then what happened is 370 just didn't make it back.
But if there was only one person on that plane, then yes. But there's other people observing other people on that plane.
He's saying it got eaten by the Langoliers. I get it.
That's pretty freaky. That's kind of that lost, weird timeline of where.
But then
that we find the wreckage, that's when their actual other existence ceases. So they're currently existing in that other Schrodinger's cat version, and hoping we don't find it. Because that then ends that other parallel.
That ends the other possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I think Schrodinger's cat was in the news the other day.
Really?
Yeah, Ricky Schrodinger's cat.
he went into rehab.
I was sad to see there hasn't been any Lambie news for you this week, Mike.
No, well, Lambie. She's
now independent now.
So she has gone independent. So yeah. she left Pup, which I
think is bullshit. We kind of touched on this last time. Yeah, I think it's bullshit that you can fucking go under the banner of a party and then go independent.
Well, she
But you were telling us last time that that's what other independents have done.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what Xenophon did?
Well, Xenophon's he wasn't a new
part
party.
Of a party. Yeah, he was part of the legislature.
Yeah, he's always been independent.
He has been. Yeah.
He was elected as an independent.
Oh, he has been for a long time.
I think he was part of the
Legislative Assembly.
Something. Yeah, I think he was part of a party. I'm not too sure which one.
Yeah, he was a while ago, but he's been independent for quite a while.
He's involved in politics, yes. And then
But he's launched a new party. I saw last week he's launching a new political party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he'll be the head of this party. I don't know what their platform is and all that kind of jazz. But
speaking of launching new parties, I saw, you know, you see a million fucking things on social media of people starting up fucking campaigns and stuff. But there's a mate of mine who's like he barely posts shit online, and he's like, you know, a really cool muso. He's like, you know, plays around the country and shit. And he posted this thing to, like, I can't remember what it's called. It's like the Australian Rock Party or something like that. And I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And they're not actually even an official party yet. They need to get an official amount of members or something before they, you know, register. But they're saying that their whole concept will be all of their members direct vote to them on what their vote becomes. So it's kind of like what we were talking about before, where why can't we have a system where fuck just voting for one dude to represent, you know, every so many years. We've got the technology to directly give our say on each individual issue.
Exactly.
And that's what this party seems to be doing. And it seems to be focused.
It's a good idea in theory. Well, it sounds like a good idea.
Definitely. And like being
do you reckon Farnsey would be president like before too long if like the whole system was like that? How long before Farnsey's doing the two strong hearts president?
Yeah.
You're the voice.
Get
Farnsey and Olivia Newton-John. This whole concert tour is just they're going into politics. They're going to announce
Barnsey as treasurer.
Vote on that.
Wow.
Barnsey and Farnsey.
Yeah, that's right. The A team.
It's can't believe
you brought up the B word.
He's my uncle.
Anyway, I think it's only a matter of time before we hear the word Lambie again in the
mouth. Oh, yeah, I think that she's still standing firm on this whole Defence Force pay rise thing.
She's ex-military, isn't she?
Yeah. So that's become her crutch to bear. And I think that, I don't know if it's blocking other legislation. So there's GP tax, I think, now.
They've dropped that, and I think they're going for a $5 co-payment thing now. I think they've dropped the old one.
Seven to five.
Yeah.
And isn't there a whole bunch of other stuff that's not covered as well? Like, yeah, I saw something
it's
about
all,
that.
It's all different now. It's completely different to what they put forward. But, yeah, it's... Yeah, that won't get through either, man. Like, they've got to deal with Pup. Now they've got to deal with fucking her. They've got to deal with Xenophon.
Oh, so she's still going to have some sort of a balance of power. Like, well, they are going to have to deal with her.
It's just like another entity that they now have to deal with, you know. So not
but
only,
is she a significant one? Like, can she be the balance in certain
She could
things?
Be. It depends on the bill and how these other people play out, you know. Like, Xenophon's a big player now because he's, you know, could be that one person.
Right.
Like, and Glenn Lazarus, he's with Pup, you know, he fucking hates him, man. And he's almost as bad as Lambie.
Footy
player? Yeah, he's a footy player. He played for the Broncos. Like, he played for the Broncos. Yeah, I think he's a Queensland senator, I think.
Oh, Queensland, okay.
And yeah, he's pretty much the reason why this GP thing didn't go through, because he blocked it in the Senate, and the Pup blocked it along with Labor.
So
they blocked it.
I don't know if we've played it on the podcast, but just on the topic of football players in politics, have you guys seen? Have you seen that?
Yeah,
no,
I haven't. So I haven't. No, actually, yes, I have.
Yeah,
yes, I have seen it. Yeah,
it is so classic, man.
But he made the right call, though. Fucking like, no own. Question about it.
Fucking that's own. Where. Do you remember the Chaser had the Mal Award for?
Man, I've started working a place that sells DVDs and like TV shows and shit, and they got DVDs of the Hamster Wheel and fucking and Australia Votes. You know, like We Can Canberra. Remember that?
Yeah.
Who the fuck buys that on DVD? Like, sure, it was great, but it was about an election like 3 years ago. Maybe it's so that, out of date.
Maybe people that worked on that campaign.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, but there must be enough people to justify making it a DVD.
Apparently they're really big in Canberra. Mate, I just came back from Canberra.
Right.
I did see a lot of like old Chaser DVDs in the Woolies down there.
There you go.
Here we go.
Pull your shit
pump
in,
it up,
Peter.
Pump it up.
Pull your head in, Peter. Come on, man.
Remember that? You don't remember the Tom Cruise episode?
He's Sydney's prostitute. Here we go. This is really lonely. The most honest political candidate in Australian history.
24 seconds.
Throughout my sporting career, I've had the urge to do community work, and I think I've really worked hard on that aspect. My 16 years in Canberra, and the thing about that is that I was, I guess, a public figure, and I was put on as on the podium where I was just a person out there making sure that I was. I'm bugging it.
That's it.
This guy's unbugged.
It's fucking brutal.
Yeah, I hate it. And sometimes
can't see.
Like, I can even feel for that Mal Meninga moment. Just when you're like, you kind of think you can bullshit, and you're on that bullshit sort of like brainwave, and then all of a sudden that brainwave just drops dead, it's like a flat line, and you're left hanging with this like lie, and you're just like.
But I don't even know if it was a lie as much as it was just that he just lost confidence. He lost his nerve.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he was like being dishonest. And
you're like losing train of thought, but then you realise that you've lost your way of train of thought.
And all you can think about is the panic that you're experiencing, and everyone can tell that I'm panicking.
I'm not making sense here. I've got to try and make... how to make sense here, and then it just falls apart.
That's what happens every time I start a podcast with you guys. For the first like 5 to 10 minutes, I'm like, don't say anything that's fucking weird and doesn't make any sense.
Coming down off that buzz.
Fully, man.
Exactly, if it lasted. Hey, dude, can I just ask the new puffer?
Yeah.
Can I have a hit on it?
Mark.
All right, bro, give us a count in.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1, let's go, fucking bitches.
All right.
So the vapor, been going through a few different flavor incarnations and found that the coffee and the cookies, that's the combination that really works for me. And that's got some nicotine in it.
Is that one that you got there? I know it's different to the one that you had at the last podcast, but did you have that when you came over to my house recently? Yeah. And so you were already onto that?
Yeah, this is like obviously a lot more, you know, portable and smaller form factor. So,
and how does it compare performance-wise?
Really close. Like, I mean, that big fat battery one, that's got probably twice the voltage. So
camera shot.
Into the camera, yeah. So, yeah, the other one's got a lot more voltage, but... The thing is that it, because it's stronger, I put bigger tanks on it. So these smaller tanks, like married with the smaller battery, actually perform very similarly. So I'm really happy with it. It's like heaps easier to put in my pocket. I can take it out to a gig and stuff like that and not have it like weigh down my pants, like it's pulling down my pants kind of thing. Like it was just too chunky, the other one. So the other one just sits at home, and this is like my, you know, go to work one. And yeah, I've smoked the occasional cigarette in the last couple of weeks, just out of habit because I'm outside with some cigarette smokers, you know.
Are you still at that point where they taste filthy?
Oh, they're dirty.
Need to be wiped off the face of the planet.
They, you know, I'm sure you guys can relate to when you quit cigarettes. Like, how sensitive do you get to the smell of other people smoking? Like, it's to the point now where I'm on I'm driving my car. And I can smell somebody in the car in front of me smoking if they've got their window open.
Yeah, me too. Like, yeah, they light up.
How about the one where you're walking along the street and the person in front of you is like smoking and they're walking, but it's a long walk and you have to walk for like, you know, 500 metres behind the person that's smoking.
And you just, what about when you're riding your motorcycle and someone flicks out their ciggy out the window and it hits your goggles, bounces off, and you're like, for fuck's sake, man. Glass the cunt.
It's good that you
quit. But do you do the thing as well, like when you... I'm talking about when you've quit and you're trying not to smoke and you get that scenario when you walk... Because everyone who's quit smoking has definitely had that scenario where you had to walk behind someone that's smoking. And do you do that thing where you kind of like go... You try to decide how far to go behind them because you want to decide how much of the smoke you want to get without feeling like, oh, I'm kind of technically like... enjoying this a bit too much, so I'll back off a little bit, but I don't have to back off too much because it's kind of nice to have that little bit of this.
Yeah.
Done that?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, no.
So it's just me. All right.
This has been great, and it's been the one thing that's really worked getting me off the cigarette, so I think I'm well and truly off it now. And I actually offer this to cigarette smokers as I go and have a ciggy with them because they're like, oh, you know, what's that? It smells really nice. And yeah, everyone loves the flavor. I think I should like trademark this combination because it's like two different brands that I'm hybrid mixing together. Okay. I should find out their base ingredients and start my own e-juice. Barnsley e-juice.
What are they again? Chocolate? No, cookies?
Coffee and cookies. Yeah.
Coffee and cookies.
But
that sounds like a good combo.
The cookie flavour technically is actually a tobacco flavour with cookies added. It's weird, yeah. But these two together, they're very tasty. And the nicotine hit, like you can hit this too hard and then start to get that... I need to sit down, you know, head spin from too much nicotine.
Well.
So, the police look at you funny.
Can I have it, dude?
Yeah, go ahead. So the coppers actually around these suburbs aren't so bad because there's actually I've noticed quite a few people using them in public.
Looks a bit like a crack pot.
I can't really think. You should try and pull it in your mouth a bit first to get it going and then drag it.
I tend to bum puff it a bit, like... Mm-hmm. And then when I see some vapor, then I take a hit.
Yeah.
And you taste the...
So that's got tobacco in it, has it?
It's got nicotine.
Nicotine, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Which does give you that throat hit, like, which I like.
It is a bit tasty, actually.
But the aftertaste is very, very nice, yeah.
That is really nice.
Yeah.
So that coffee, like, really kicks in, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's tough, though, because I've talked about it on the podcast a few times. You can't get nicotine in Australia, so I'm having to buy the juice that's got the nicotine in it from the UK. It takes a couple of weeks to get here. It's pretty expensive. Nowhere near as expensive as buying cigarettes. But then the cookie juice is one that's a non-nicotine one, so I can just buy that locally in Australia.
Okay.
So it's like, yeah, just like I have to travel to a shop to get that and then I have to mail order for the other one.
So now that you're sort of out of the phase of your initial outlay, you know, it's starting to pay for itself now. So how much do you reckon you're going to be spending, like, say, per month, like, moving forward?
It'd be lucky to be $50. Yeah. And that's you know, probably pretty, a bit generous.
Yeah.
So
it's the timing, though. You've got to make sure you get your timing right. Otherwise, you're in danger of not having the luge to keep going.
Yeah, I did have a period there where I was, you know, in between mail orders and ended up experimenting with some pretty weird fucking shit from the local store.
And it was fucking rank.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. It was like an 80s song. I went into the shop and found some weird experimental shit.
Detachable vapor.
So, yeah, no, the vaping's going good. I'm still off the cigarettes and... I recommend it to everybody that I talk to that's like trying to get off cigarettes and have tried other, like, you know, nicotine patches and shit like that. I say try this. You might just be replacing one thing for the other, but it's certainly heaps healthier than combusting.
Well, it's good to hear, man. I wish you well in your nicotine quitting endeavors. May God be with you and look to him when you feel weak and just remember we all love you too.
Yeah, and I'll wean myself off this over time as well because I can get lower nicotine levels in the juice as well. So I'll, you know, go half the strength next batch and half again next batch and then I should be nicotine free. So, yeah.
And how are you feeling?
Heaps better, man. It's a massive difference. Like
your chest feels better?
Oh, I've got a massive walk to work at the moment. It's like a good 30-minute like power walk because my current, you know, public transport only gets me halfway of where I need to go. If I was smoking cigarettes I was smoking before, I would be probably stopping halfway. Yeah. It's like, you know, oof.
Poor Homer.
Thousand knives of fire stabbing me in the heart. Need to take a defibrillator with me on the way. One thing I've been hearing about lately, it looks like it's going to come into force, is the local councils are going to start banning smoking in public areas. And I think they're starting next year with all of Martin Place. Now, this isn't
a trial.
It's a trial.
12-month trial.
12-month trial.
Soft approach. It's not going to be...
Soft approach. This is not what I heard. What have you heard?
I heard they're going to be asked to refrain. They're not going to be fined or anything like that.
Really?
Yeah.
So it starts with, please extinguish your cigarette. Now, that's going to turn into conflict. Like, just imagine, like... Now, Martin Place is probably, you know, not, you know, Coogee Beach...
Well, they're like not going to do it in fucking Macquarie Field somewhere, are they?
Same, like, you know, enforcers going to somewhere like that, or like, you know, bloody the smoking area at Dapto RSL or something, you know, and trying to enforce it, you know. It's Martin Place is probably one place that, you know, is gentrified enough for people to accept it, and probably, who knows, a majority of people would welcome it, you know. Like we were just saying, you know, as a non-smoker, you fucking can smell another person smoking. And a lot of people will just go to Martin Place to eat their lunch. And I can understand that being pretty fucking disgusting. I don't know if it should be enforced by fucking rangers. And, yeah, it might be a soft approach when it starts, but I read that it will be enforceable by fine. So that's probably why they're starting with a soft approach, so they can then turn around and was like, well, we had a period where we were just telling people and it's... You know, it's been in the media enough that you should be aware of it, you know. So now there's fines, you know. And there's a problem when you have an institution of collecting revenue through fines. Mm. It doesn't become about, you know, being mindful of other people in public. It becomes about fucking now filling quotas and shit, you know. And people's careers and new jobs become created off fucking, you know... punishing people for shit like that. I find it, you know, it's a hard thing to reel back once it's in established, those kinds of things.
Well, it's like that thing that we were watching about the what do they call it, where the cops were taking people's possessions that they thought might have been involved in crimes.
Yeah,
and it's like
proceeds
of crime, and it's like once that came into effect, it was only a matter of time before, like, it just became an institution and these guys just started going for money.
Yeah, you know, like, and they were, like, blatantly displaying the shit that they were getting off the back of that.
The margarita machine.
Like, like, tanks and fucking crazy stuff, like local PDs getting fucking massive things based off the back of illegal search and seizures. And... you know, yeah, that's fucking crazy. So that's the kind of slippery slope I worry about with, like...
Well, so what do you... So that's what I understand what you're saying about that it creates an industry and there's definitely, like, a financial incentive for these guys to, like, bust people.
Mm.
But what is, like, how... I'm trying to, like, envisage this scenario where, like, that power could, like, be corrupted and, like, what could they, like...
It's not that the power becomes corrupted. It's just it becomes, you know, a relied upon... like, revenue stream, you know what I mean? I don't think that it'd be, you know...
Well, it'd be a big tourist trap, wouldn't it? It's like it'd be like summertime would just be a bonanza for all the tourists, like, walking through Martin Place. They're like, are you?
Definitely, fucking oath. Or would it get to a point where it's, like, you know, enforced by bloody CCTV? And it's just got, like, some fucking algorithm that's, like,
and
you know...
speakers.
You put out the cigarette.
That, yeah, like the biometric, like, face recognition, and you just get a fine in the mail.
It's like the... Well, I think we talked about this on the podcast before as well. It's like that shit RoboCop. I think it's RoboCop 3.
This is what we're talking about in the way that...
And they fucking make him fucking be all polite and shit.
This is it. We were literally talking about this in the car on the way to the podcast today. What were we talking... We're talking about RoboCop 3, where he has to go all PC.
Yeah,
he has to go all PG.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The one fucking carnage bit, like, was a dude that lights a ciggy up on the side of the street and he fucking screeches the car to a stop, gets out of the car, holsters the gun, the leg fucking, you know, the massive fucking flame throwing gun comes out. It's like,
That's in number one.
Is it one?
That's number one. Thank you for that smoking.
Yeah, is that number one?
He said that exactly.
Doesn't he do? Oh, okay. I might be getting mistaken. But it's three where he's all PC.
I can't remember.
He's all PG.
That's literally what happened. That's why that movie went shit. Because the first two were like hard R's, and they were like really violent. And then the third one, the new producers came in and said, "Oh, like this character is like really popular. You know, we see him on T-shirts and everything. Like, we should do like a big movie. The kids will love him. You know, like let's go PG and like get in the big like Christmas bucks." And everyone went.
There was that scene where he goes and electrocutes himself to get rid of all of that shit. Remember that?
Oh, to wipe his program.
Yeah. And then he's got zero directives. And I remember at that point in the movie, he's like, he doesn't even have the Prime 3 directives now. Like, fuck, even like uphold the law. Don't even need that now. Like, just go out there.
And that's because there was that Prime directive that made him have to always obey the corporation.
Yes. Protect the innocent.
But there was like one that overrid everything, the one that he had to get rid of, which was that he had to obey this one person or the...
That was like the OCP.
OCP, that's
right. OCP, that's it.
Hidden directive.
Yeah, there was a hidden directive that he had to do
with the person.
And he said that scene where he's like, I cannot kill you, why? He's like, hidden directive.
What one thing?
Yeah, it's coming out flashing in his head. Hidden directive 97. Hidden direction 97. Ging.
How's this? A mate of mine.
Haven't I had that experience before when I've wanted to shoot someone else? hidden directive. Do not shoot.
Just twitching out in the corner. Like, fuck. A mate of mine's got a 3D printer, and he like does all this fucking awesome shit and posted on Facebook what he's done. One of the things he did was the OCP logo.
Awesome.
It's like this awesome. Big, like, nice. He fully painted it.
Have you seen that pen one that's just come out?
No.
And like dudes are doing like live kind of like, how would you describe it? It's like a really thin pen, and they'll do like a wire work. Kind of like sculpture, like this, like woman or whatever. But it's like you only see it if you look at it from a certain like perspective. You see this like woman sort of like sort of arching it back like on a table. But the thing is that by doing that, it's all programmed into the computer as well. So it's literally 3D printing live. But then you've got the 3D model in the computer that you've just created.
Wow, I saw something similar to that. On a fucking... Well, I think it's a similar thing where this guy's got this... I saw it on the internet forum where he's created these GIFs where he's gotten a Halloween mask and he's put it on this, like, spindle thing where he spins the mask around and he's shooting, like, this laser at it, and in real time the computer's able to track the contours of what it's looking at, and then they can project that real time in VR. Yeah. So they're saying that that's the first steps of, like, say, two people putting on a helmet or some shit and doing like a live Skype, and it, like, we're sitting across from each other in real time, being able to render, like, you know, face stuff like that. I was seeing also, I just bought like a fucking Samsung mobile phone. And so I get all S4. It's actually
I've got an S4.
Beautiful phone. Like, best phone I've ever fucking owned. But I'm way behind the times in phones. Like, before this, I had like a fucking Nexus 1, which is like from the late 90s.
Nexus 1, isn't that fucking...
It's up to like 6
isn't
or something.
Blade Runner?
Probably.
Is that the Google name of the fucking replicants?
Like, it's one of the original Google phones.
Yeah, right, okay.
So yeah, having this phone is amazing. But I get a whole bunch of fucking Samsung spam now. But I did notice one of the products that's coming out now is a Samsung VR helmet, and it's powered by Oculus. So it's like, I think Oculus is like licensed out, and it like syncs with your phone. Like, now I don't know how the fuck this works.
Sony's made their own VR headset as well. They showed it at E3 this year, and that looks pretty good as well. So it's
big companies. Have you guys bought an Oculus yet?
I haven't bought one. I've tried.
You've tried it?
One.
You have had one on?
I've tried one.
How was it?
I felt a bit sick.
Oh, you felt a bit sick.
But
do you get motion sick though in cars and stuff?
Yeah, if I'm like trying to read. But even like the dude that got it was CG. And the dude who got it, he's like, I can't play it for more than half an hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah, right.
He gets sick, and then he has to take like an hour and a half. Recover.
Hour and a half.
About that to recover, and then he can go again for another 30, 40 minutes. Oh. So it's cool But I don't know. They have to overcome that. But
do
that.
Most people, like, do all people have that experience?
Not,
or is it only
not everyone,
people?
But I'd say the majority.
Have you seen the clips of, like, have you heard about the Oculus Rift? If someone's wearing one, you push them in the back, they feel like they're fucking falling and they just completely freak out.
Yeah, right.
There's this clip of, like, they have it at a shopping center, like a shopping mall in America, and these dudes are trying it on and then someone shoves them in the back and they're like, blah, completely freaking out. Like, apparently it's just like the most like terrifying, like
full on.
Just disorienting like experience.
I can only imagine. Like, it's going to get to a point where we're plugged into that shit, and yeah, people get hacked, and they'll be like, you know, they'll figure out like, you know, some strobe pattern that like opens up the reptilian brain, and all of a sudden, people going like, you know, going like these wild, like altered states, like reptilian sex rampages, because like this primordial part of their brain is awoken by this like hacked.
This is your area of expertise.
Is it really? It's freaking me out.
Is this on the plans for the Illuminati to have us all like, have your reptilian sexcapades like by Oculus Rift?
I'm a bit behind the times, I think.
Sign me up, Jose.
I read a review of the new Alien game, like Alien, like the Ridley Scott Alien, apparently the Xenomorph, and they were talking about it was the first. Yeah, they were saying that though it's the first game they've played with. No.
Isolation.
They'd read. Yeah, is that the one?
Alien
yeah.
Isolation. Like pretty new. Fucking looks about, fucking wicked.
I read this about 3 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, and they were saying that they have like done the Oculus Rift a few times before, but they said this is like one of the first times that they were like.
It's the right totally setting
immersive.
For it.
Like that, it was really immersive, and they were saying that it was a lot of it was just the details of the environment that you're in, because you know it's all those like kind of like tunnels, it's all dark and dripping, and you know like and you can't really see very well. And but they were saying everywhere they looked, it was so immersive that they totally tripped out on that, and were just like exploring this world and just going, wow, this is amazing. And then all of a sudden, after about 5, 7 minutes of like just totally tripping out in the environment, they just see something go past in the background, like maybe about 20 meters away, and then all of a sudden they go and they remember that they're in a fucking alien game, and the alien is like going to be hunting them, just and they said the moment of just their guts just dropping out, like just the floor falling out from beneath them and just being like, holy shit,
that's pretty crazy.
That's pretty exciting.
Even without Oculus, that's supposed to be one of the, you know, most immersive aliens games, and there's, trust me, there's been a few shit ones
in their time.
And it looks awesome. I haven't played it yet, but yeah, give us some reviews, guys. Should I play console and PC, because I want to know, and what would you give it? Because yeah, I'm really keen to, because I've heard so many good things about it, and I haven't really seen any gameplay, so yeah, let us know.
Well, I just haven't been following gaming at all, and when I read that description, I just went, man, that sounds like I might be ready to like jump back in. Like, this sounds like a good point to jump in.
No, I'm pretty sure it's on next gen as well as PC, so yeah, it should look awesome. And yeah,
but with the Oculus Rift, is that something you just buy and you can have in your home?
No, it's not even developed. What people buy now is what's called the development kit, and there's the development kit version 2. It's just like an upgraded version of it, but they're still tweaking it and stuff. It's for developers of these games and shit, really, to get their hands on and understand how the technology works, so that they can start tailoring their apps and games and content to how to use it.
So it's not really out there.
It's not available for purchase to the general. You can't go on the JB and buy it yet. You need to. They'll, you know, got bought out by Facebook just recently.
Oh my god, so Oculus Rift Facebook,
like what the fuck.
Oh my god, can you imagine I remember an immersive Facebook reality.
Totally. I remember.
That is terrifying.
Here's the other terrifying part of it is that within the same month of Facebook acquiring Oculus Rift, Google acquired a company called Boston Dynamics.
Oh,
I've heard of them. What do they do again?
Seen these videos? These are the guys that are basically
the fucking robot, that fucking spider creature that they...
The latest one that they've built, like you've seen they call it the big dog, which is probably the one you've seen. It like on a conveyor belt, and it like hits like, you know, 40 k's an hour or something, and it's able to like jump over obstacles, and
you can kick
it. Self-balances and... But that was actually one of the early versions, and now they've gotten it even crazy. They've got one called the Cheetah, which is the next one from
I've seen that.
This thing gets up to 60, 70 Ks on this like
this conveyor belt thing that they show, it's like, just you just start picturing that shit hunting you down. And it's like, holy fucking shit. Now, the next one that I just saw, I think I'll see if I can find the video if you guys haven't seen it, but they've got a humanoid robot that they've managed to...
Not what?
Like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is this the one that looks like it's in a little space suit? Like,
yeah,
the
it's got like a gas mask on.
No, that's the Japanese one.
No. Oh,
that's
okay.
That's the Japanese one.
Yeah, but that's like an astronaut. But there was something new that's come out. I saw this just
the other day. This thing looks like fucking... It's full Stormtrooper shit, man. Like, yeah, it's not perfect. It likes looks a little wonky. I'll see if I can find the video. But it's fucking... Now, this company, bought by Google, in the same month as Facebook buys Oculus Rift, like, and this article was basically saying, this is Skynet.
They're sick of paying for those Street View cars driving around, so they just make these little robots running around the streets.
Like, there's a lot of, like, people that talk about how science fiction really leads technology, like, because science fiction tends to dream forward, and good science fiction tries to take science and extrapolate in the future for that. So, like, this is so close to Terminator shit. Like,
there'll always be a way to combat them, though. I mean, just walk around with a few iron bars in your pocket and throw
just cut magnetic bars and tubes that are like feeding it fuel.
It'll stick to their legs and
whoa.
So yeah, it does have fuck ups, but they
where it fucked up?
I think so. Yeah, and they like
it reached its limit.
Pull it up.
You throw a few big magnets at its legs and it throws it off balance and.
That's the thing. Like, are we going to have to, like, have plasma rifles as, like...
Of course.
That's pretty crazy.
As foretold by Hollywood. Did you see the one I put on Facebook, Barnsley?
Look at this.
The three drones that have the net and with the ball, and they all pull apart and the ball flies up and they fly over and catch it again.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen other ones where they've figured out swarm drone technology, and it's not like... You know, they've got a swarm of small drones, like 20, 30. So it's not 30 dudes all learning to play in sync. They've figured out a way to have it autonomously talk to each other, and each one chirps to each other, just like a bird
flock
does.
Yeah.
And they
digibirds.
Fully, man, and they've figured it out. Like, and it is just like.
Figured it out? How do you figure something like that out?
It's all algorithms and programming and advancing sensors and
a lot of it's to do with advancing in computer power. Like,
being able to compute all of that information.
Miniaturization is a big part of it, too. Like, as we're able to get things smaller and smaller, like, you just look at.
In the toy shop, there's a drone this big, there's a quadcopter this big.
I've seen.
Just fly it around the room.
On eBay, you can buy ones that are. Like, they come with an app, so you actually use your smartphone. So they've got a built-in camera into the drone, and so that projects onto your phone. So you're looking at the camera feed, and you just like move your phone, like the gyroscope in your phone becomes the remote control for your phone.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Like, they're pretty expensive, those ones, but that's becoming consumer-grade technology.
But it'd need to have a gyroscope in the phone, or most phones do have them.
Most do, yeah.
Of course they do, because you turn them and...
They figure out the screen rotation, and there's a lot of games that you can get, like racing games and stuff, where you turn the car by just moving the phone.
No shit.
So it's but the technology's getting better and better.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty much what was in the Wii remotes. It was gyroscopes.
Yeah, right.
That's what made Wii remotes work.
Yes, well. Robots.
What's one of your topics you want to talk about, Jagger?
Astro Boy.
Astro Boy?
No. That's the next big robot.
Did you watch the remake of Astro Boy?
Yeah, we've got it. The kids have got it.
I didn't mind it.
It's a bit shitty.
Is it animated or is it real?
Yeah, it's animated.
Right.
Yeah.
It's one of those like glossy 3D animations. Yeah.
Does he look like similar to the original Astro Boy?
Yeah, he does. He's a bit older though, I think. I get the feeling he's more like a early teenager kind of vibe.
They tweaked the story a bit.
But it was all right. I didn't watch it all the way through.
Man. They show him occasionally on SBS, like late at night. And fuck, man, that was some pretty hardcore cartoons. Like, there was like the death of Astro Boy, like, and there's the scene where, like, he's like make a dad, you know, that dude with the big nose and the the mustache.
Yeah, the professor. Yeah,
has to like go and like collect Astro Boy's dead body from the fight scene with this robot called Ulysses.
Oh, lovely!
It was this like golden robot that like it was epic, man. I remember like watching it as an adult and thinking back to how young I was when I saw it. I'm like,
do you remember watching it as a kid as well?
Oh, fuck yeah. I loved Astro Boy.
I remember.
No, but do you remember seeing that particular episode?
Oh, yeah.
I remember Adam watching that as a kid. I kind of remember Astro Boy, but I remember Adam watching Astro Boy.
Yeah, we all watched Astro Boy.
Do you remember I had that shirt with the, it had the hologram and like, and when it turned one way, like you could see his skin and you turn the other way, it was all his internal workings?
Yeah,
it's good. Anyway, I was going to say that it looks like they might need Astro Boy over in Japan to fix this freaking stricken reactor that they seem to have over there.
laser eye repair it and shit. Oh, no, wait, it was like, finger guns, wasn't it? I think
your finger beams and, of course, the arse gun, which I love.
That's right, the arse gun, yeah. And, but did he use his feet as well? Like, did he use the rockets sometimes to weld shit shut?
Yes, he could do that.
Yeah.
And hands? Mm. Didn't he have rockets in his hands for extra boost?
But
Iron Man versus Astro.
Oh, wow.
I think Iron Man would fucking
2016, rate. Apparently. Anyway,
Yeah, man, come on.
Stand over Astro Boy.
He's Tony Stark, man. He could probably fucking reprogram him.
You know, I know the kind of crossover you're talking about, mate.
Yes, anyway.
I've seen those kind of movies.
10 on 10.
Iron Man, 10, 10. Astro Boy.
Everything will be pixelated, though. Those Japanese ones, they always pixelate the good shit. Fukushima, anyway, man, I haven't heard anything in the mainstream news because the news is just so jam-packed full of other shit going on.
Well, as I was going to say, yeah, it's been a while since I've actually looked up the sites that I usually look up for news on Fukushima because it's something that, you know, I think about a little bit here and there.
I found the best coverage has been, I don't know if you've seen it, but Vice News.
Right.
They do some really good pieces on Fukushima.
Yeah, okay. I've seen a couple of docos that might have been done by them or reports.
One of them was talking about the... Like, the technicians that decided, okay, we're going to be the ones that go in and we understand that we're pretty much suicide missioning, and they're, like, interviewing these dudes, and, like, they
picked... Do you remember when it first happened?
Well, yeah, one of the first team that would go in to try and deal with, like, you know, at least, you know, stopping it become a major meltdown, which had the potential, and they knew they had to send in a team of, like, you know, I think it was like 7 dudes that they chose, and it's this story about how they, you know, chose guys with no family. A lot of them though ended up not being old, like in their 20s, like, and it's not a guarantee that it was a suicide mission, but the amount
did they have a major debt to the Yakuza or something?
I
heard rumors of that. They got all these, you know,
right,
dead shit guys come up that owed
really
debts or whatever and got them
working. And they're the ones that are sent in to try and fix it.
I don't know how true that is.
I think they knew that if, you know, this got bad, it's going to look bad for their country, and they're pretty, you know, loyal to their country.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so they're going to go like...
Yeah, got a lot to answer for.
Well, I was actually reading a bit of good news about it because apparently they've brought in this... this company that was contracted to TEPCO have this little or big device for purifying the water that they've got stored all around the place in about 400 giant bloody tanks, which are
storage tanks.
Apparently shoddily made. There's rivets coming out and water leaking.
Was this prior to the accident happening?
No, after it. All the water they've collected, because there's water running in into the cooling rods, and they've got to move that out
to try and keep it cool.
But did they fuck up? Like, were they not properly prepared?
It was the tsunami. It was the tsunami.
No, I know it was because of the tsunami, but what I'm saying is were they underprepared? Is that what people are saying? I don't know. I haven't been following it up.
A lot of what they're saying is that the response to it was downplayed,
right?
Okay. Because they didn't want it to be this, like, you know, exposure.
The new Chernobyl.
They were trying to save face.
So they put their saving face ahead of public safety.
Yeah, right. And then a lot of the shit that...
But like, that being said, what are you going to fucking do? Like, there's only so much you can do. Like,
One of the things that they're saying is with all of these storage tanks that they've now got going, which are having to be done, like, ad hoc, like, none of those were there before it happened. They're creating these to store it. But before that even happened, like, apparently... It was just seawater coming in and flowing back out. There was no control of it.
Well, no, a lot of it was leaking into the sea, like 300 or 400 tons a day was going straight into the Pacific. So they're containing it with these giant tanks, which are pretty badly made, if reports are true.
And they've made
And they're up, adding to it. Okay, yeah. Every day they're adding another 300 to 400 metric tons of this dirty water to store.
Radiated water, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. That's what all sorts of shit in it. Right.
But I'm not a fucking nuclear scientist or nothing. But isn't the whole reason why they have to put water in there is because of the heat? They want it to melt down.
It's the rods.
So when they put the water in there and it gets too hot, what happens? Doesn't it evaporate, go into steam? And then it's like, why do they need to store irradiated water?
Yeah, it does, but it's constantly circulating over them.
Right.
I'm sure there is an amount of steam, which they do something with, and it goes back into
condensation
the system.
Or some shit.
They recycle everything.
But it's all sealed in the core as well. And
it all goes back to
the
itself.
Water into the core to try and cool down those fuel rods, which are then...
They need constant cooling.
Yeah, constant cooling. And then when that water comes back out, it's got all the fucking... radioactive strontium, shit cesium, all through it. What are you going to do with that? You can't pour it back into the fucking drain or into the ocean. It's going to fuck everything. So what they have to do is store it.
You're saying a lot of it would evaporate, but heaps of it isn't because just the sheer amount of volume of water that they're pumping into
it. I don't think they can let it evaporate.
I think it's all contained in
the core,
which is by the time it comes back out, that's not evaporatable.
It's not like it's an open pit and it's just evaporating.
No. They're saying it's contained.
Gotcha. Remember, we watched that thing, and they fucking built the nuclear reactor in the fucking ice.
Oh yeah.
Remember, we were watching it the other night, and it was some fucking old school thing, and I was transfixed, man. And they dug. It was like in the North Pole or Greenland or something.
Yeah.
And they fucking had these modified like digging machines, and they dug massive trenches, right, in the fucking solid ice in these glaciers in Greenland. And they were fucking building an American base there, right? Yeah, right. And it was like a man versus machine. Look, fuck you, nature. We're going to fucking rape you and fucking build a fucking trench here in the middle of fucking nowhere, right? And I was like, there's no fucking way. All these people are going to fucking die. Anyway, long story short, they fucking dug these massive trenches, built these massive fucking structures in these things so people could live in it, but then they needed to power it. So they were like, all right, it was like in the 60s or something. Mm. And they're like, all right, we need to power it, so we're going to bring in a nuclear reactor and put it into one of these fucking trenches.
As you do.
So they built another fucking trench, which is like three times as big, and fucking put in...
It's this massive city underneath 2 kilometres of ice in Greenland. It's still there, and it's still powered by that reactor.
And
it's got enough, like... accommodation for what was it, like 2,000 people
something ridiculous, like fucking army base in the ice.
Okay.
It's the US Army that did this.
the US Army
But it's like, remember, they got the rods, man. They got the rods, they clean them. They're the uranium.
Do you reckon that's where
rods.
The people from MH370 are staying? Yeah, now
probably. Fucking hell. All of the fucking original fucking 9/11 passengers are down there as well. They're like, finally we got some fucking new neighbours, like when the MHs went down. Oh wow, that's pretty cool. I like that idea.
They put those
Not
rods.
To mention Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper.
They put those rods. That's those rods are what they need to cool at Fukushima. Those rods that we saw that they had to remember, and they're like, oh yay, it's gone critical. That they put them inside the sealed core underneath that fucking pool of water.
Yeah, right.
The core's underneath that.
And essentially, nuclear power is the heat that's generated,
fission instead of fusion,
water into steam that drives turbines. That's how we get power out of nuclear energy, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
It's an amazing technology, but at the same time,
it's dicey.
Fucking boneheaded. And I found this shit that if we tweak it in the right way, we'll go hotter than the sun. So we'll just stick it in a pool of water, and all the steam that comes off that pool, we're going to fucking turn a little fan.
Well, scarier than tsunamis is solar flares. I read a really interesting hypothesis on if a solar flare occurred and knocked out whatever systems that were powering these nuclear stations went down. You know, they have to bring in all trucks with diesel fuel 24/7 all day to power these things, you know. And if shit fucked up that badly, how long are the trucks going to be coming in for? And don't forget, there's 400 around the planet, over 400
full on
power stations.
400 power stations.
Fucking hell.
So but you're talking about the solar flare, like wiping out all like electrical components and stuff. Yeah. But wouldn't that also affect the trucks as well? The diesel trucks?
These days it probably would.
And stuff?
These like, days it probably would, yeah.
Solar flares are full on. Like it's, I remember probably about a year or so ago now, there was actually one that like NASA announced, like they knew it was going to happen. It was like due.
And it was on the other side of the sun,
yeah,
where we were, yeah.
And if it had been on the right side, like they were like, you know, all communication satellites would be gone, just like,
well, apparently it was bigger than that 1860s one that hit Earth, and nothing really happened. All it did was knock out a few telegraph lines. I think it was around the 1860s.
Full on.
Yeah. That was the last big one to hit Earth.
Yeah, well, so it'll happen again. Overdue, apparently. Yeah.
Fucking hell. It's crazy. Just like that, just some...
solar ray.
Flash of shit. Fucks your shit up, man. That's crazy. But yeah, I mean, put yourself in the shoes of being the captains of industry when we discovered nuclear power. How could you not fucking try?
Yeah, it's all in that video. They were like, it was so confident, and it was like with, you know, bravado that they were doing this. It's like, oh, okay, you know, and then it's gone critical, and it's like,
wow,
we've got this completely under control. This is a completely normal thing for us to do.
Yeah.
And that would have been the mindset of the time. It's like, you know, nuclear power is this new thing that we've found with all this other shit.
It's like turning on the microwave.
You know?
It's like, this is how it works, and you switch on the microwave, and look how quick it works.
Oh, the technology was amazing when it came out. All that stuff post-World War II, which raises another topic we should talk about one day. You know, hidden World War II histories.
Oh yeah,
which I've been reading a fair bit about.
What kind of things have you been seeing?
I don't want to get too much into it because I'm a little bit underprepared for this topic.
If you've got some good tidbits for us to kick off on some of that stuff for future episodes, give us comments and stuff. We'd like to hear from you.
Long story short, read a lot of really in-depth stuff about Operation Paperclip post-war, when the Allies went in and the Russians from the other side and snared all the top scientists, gave them immunity, moved them back. Werner von Braun, the most popular, most famous case in point.
Yeah.
What was it?
Well, he created the German space program, aka the American space program. So he brought all his cronies over. They had their own special team. They had a lot of intelligence immunity as well. So there's theories that they expanded and sort of infiltrated the government. But not only that, a lot of the technologies that they actually brought back that don't tell people about, you know, which turned into Area 51 and associated areas of interest.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. There's been, I don't know if you've seen recently in the news, it's almost felt like a distraction piece of news from the American US politics. But it's being marked as the first time their Congress has come together on a bill that seems so solid in you cannot disagree with it, that like there's nobody that's going to be, you know, blocking it just on party grounds. And the name of the bill is called No More Social Security for Nazis. For Nazis.
Yeah. Oh,
that's right, yeah.
And apparently there's been this fucking massive loophole where no Nazis, even that have been deported from America and living in places that are Nazi havens, like fucking, I can't remember what it's like.
South America, Argentina.
Argentina, yeah.
There's a lot of that in the book.
Even though they've been fucking found out and shipped out, they've been getting Social Security for like the last 20, 30 years. Like, you know, just mailed over to them from the fucking US government. So it's this bill that's like, who's going to stand up and be like, you know, I object to the
This is just government trying to control us again.
Think of those poor Nazis.
Is this the start of tyranny?
They were war veterans, just like anyone else. Are you saying you want me to sign a bill that takes away money from our war veterans? You know, but yeah, it's funny, like, the Nazi thing, like, you know, it's pretty much a given that the US space program was accelerated from a lot of the guys from the V2 rocket program
and V3, the almost deployed V3s, which were pretty scary. They were the first ICB intercontinentals.
Yeah, but were these missile rockets?
Space rockets. Apparently, the V3s had the potential of, you know, apparently getting to New York
from Germany.
And then if they got further along, if they figured out how to do a nuclear warhead,
well, so that's my next point is that
there's a lot of evidence to say that they had the bomb.
No way.
And we're almost going to use it. They had a lot of stuff, man. A lot of the jet planes.
Well,
man,
they would have used it without prejudice.
In the bomb were Germans anyway, right?
No. Weren't not they? Really. Well, actually...
Was it the Manhattan Project?
Manhattan Project, Monsanto. Which
was like,
Mostly Einstein. Americans. It's something that a lot of people reference to when people say that conspiracies can't exist because, especially government-based conspiracies, because that's too many people to keep quiet. Someone would blab, you know, someone would reveal. But the Manhattan Project was a massive division of the
American government. Well, it was a heavily compartmentalized project. So these guys had no idea what these guys were doing. Monsanto, which I was going to bring up today as well, and the seed movement.
Mm.
Monsanto had a fair bit to do with the Manhattan Project.
Really?
The head of Monsanto was approached by the government to co-direct the Manhattan Project. Their thing was the Dayton Project or something, which was a part of the, you know, the Manhattan Project. It was a small thing where they worked out the neutron, which initiated the chain reaction, whatever they call it. That was their bag, so they worked that out. They worked out the actual, you know, from moment of impact just triggers the rest of the bomb. So they worked all that out. They had a bit of other shifty things to do with it, I'm sure.
That is fucking crazy.
So Monsanto have had their fingers in many different shifty pies over the years.
Excellent.
Wow.
God bless them.
Jesus. I never knew that. That is crazy. Yeah. I'll have to look that one up. Yeah. You talked about the seed banks. The ones that you're talking about, are they the ones where I think there's like three or four of them around the world? There's one like in the Arctic, I think.
That's an emergency one. That's the Hansvard or Svalbard, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Norwegian seed bank. That's like I think it might be a UN initiative.
It is. Yeah. Possibly. Do you know the story about
that? I've heard about it. I don't know anything about it.
Where it's like an event of, cataclysmic events where, you know, basically they all arable land is taken out for a while. But there might be the ability to restart, you know, keeping a bank of seeds means that we've got our, you know, food supply and genetics intact for when that happens, or even like some kind of hydroponic underground setup or, you know, some, what's the other one that they do? I find that amazing that there's that thought put into it by our world leaders. You know,
it's an amazing bank. I've read a bit about it and what they've got down there, and it's just everything you can think of, pretty much every different variety of crop, a lot of old heirloom stuff, which is great. The problem is getting to it. I mean, if shit fucks up and me and you are surviving, it's like, well, Blindsy, let's go to the library and learn how to fly a plane, learn how to refuel one.
Because
they've got that crew down in the underground army bunker in Greenland that are like waiting for it to happen so they can go straight from Greenland to Norway and open up the seed bank. That's what they're there for.
We're getting pretty hungry by this point. So we take off.
That's the thing, man. Like, fucking,
we got no navigation.
You'd be so screwed. Like, I mean, even if the electricity was still on, you know, in an event like that, like what are you going to do? Like, as you say, none of us know how to fly a plane or a helicopter.
We could sail.
Hey,
break into a Ray's Outdoor and get a compass sail.
Yeah, the water's just over there. You go and get a boat pretty quick. That'd be probably one good.
Get to India, take a couple of trail bikes on the boat, maybe. Get to India, drive
it's
up.
There's a seaplane over there. Take the seaplane.
You know how to fly a fucking seaplane?
Fucking Commando, the black chicken Commando. She figured it out.
Ding, 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 ding. I can fly 4-channel little remotes, but.
I lied.
But yeah, so there's a number of those. I don't know if there's any others like that big one in the Arctic, but it's in a stable area. It's cool. And it's
who controls it?
I think one of them's the UN. Well, it's UN.
Norway would have a fair bit to do with it, seeing it's in their backyard.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, that'd be my concern. If the shit hit the fan, would somebody then go, all right, this is ours. Everybody else, fuck off, you know?
Oh, of course. You'd be the Mad Max of seeds.
But that'd be like, Wes. Mad Max Seeds Edition.
My seeds.
So isn't that the same guy who played what's his name? Bennett in Commando. It's the same dude. Did you know that?
Really?
The dude, the dude with the big mohawk and the arseless chaps from Mad Max 2 that's hanging off the front of the truck is the same dude Commando that wears the chainmail. The overweight, out of shape dude with the chainmail shirt. It's the same dude.
I don't need no stinking knife. Yeah,
exactly. I don't need no stinking knife.
Let off some steam, Ben.
Let off some steam.
So anyway, there's the seed saving is, or the seed savers movement is basically where people are trying to save these different varieties of mainly edible vegetables and whatnot, but other things as well. Mm. It's pretty popular in the States. They've got seedsavers.org has a lot of chapters around the world in different countries which are striving to save these awesome heirloom varieties from going out
of,
and
a lot of it would be for when the world supply gets tainted by a GM as well. Be trying to get like
that, you know, and just biodiversity.
It's a major problem. There's a lot of these like patented fucking seed.
These Roundup resistant seeds I kept hearing about, and they're like really dominant, and they keep like
it's really problematic.
They invade, Roundup ready. The Roundup ready line of products in Monsanto is roughly 50% of their business.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a lot of different Roundup ready seeds. It's scary. I even heard a rumor they've got an aluminium resistant seed.
Yeah. Why are you meaning?
Well, this is where it gets a bit conspiratorial because
I know this one,
it gives a bit of credence to the whole chemtrail conspiracy.
Here's the breakdown that I understand.
So the theory is that in chemtrails, aluminium is like
one of the elements. Yeah, yeah. Okay. With barium and etc.
It's a multi-pronged theory. The material in the chemtrails does have aluminum particle in it, but the aluminum particle is actually more of a geoengineering thing because they're trying to figure out how to create these like artificial like cloud coverage for one days where the planet has not enough cloud coverage, and they can artificially create something that doesn't actually allow that heat into the biosphere and can reflect it back out. That's the aluminum thing, but a byproduct of the aluminum in the thing is that does soak the soil because this particulate, it lingers for a while, but then it eventually precipitates down. And it's also other particulates in it that do shit with pH levels in soil. So these seeds that the patents can be found, that's not a conspiratorial theory on it. There is Monsanto patents on seed that will germinate in higher pH level soils and are more aluminum resistant.
So bottom line is that it doesn't occur naturally in the soil. So that's the hell are you?
And a lot of these places that claim they're getting really heavy coverage of these fucking chemtrail sprays, their soil testing is fucking definitely elevated pH and weird material, like metallic materials in it. Wow. Now the counteraction to that, just for fair balance, is that it seems that a lot of the areas that seem to have a lot of chemtrails also have a lot of commercial flights. And the amount of fucking pollution and shit that's just in the exhaust.
Yeah, I
never really thought about this. Yeah. It's a funny thing that fucking Joe Rogan talks about on his podcast is when he laughs at his friends that talk about chemtrails, he's like, even the ones that you can't see leaving a trail, do you know how fucking much pollutants there is?
Mm.
And as years go on, the amount of air traffic increases and the amount of areas that receive that traffic expands, and that maybe that those pH levels in soils are just the natural fucking pollution from
planet. Another thing I saw similar to that was boats that on all the shipping lanes, and apparently they throw out massive amounts of diesel pollutants.
Yeah, right.
Massive. And there's so many cargo ships going back and forth. You think about import export all around the world, there's shipping all over the place.
Just shit goes out of the ships as well.
Well, yeah.
You know, like,
sure.
You know, at least that, you know, the fish are going to eat it. But, you know, still, it's, you know, a foreign object that you're introducing into this environment.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, one or two ships, it's not going to, but there's how many fucking ships are there out there, you know? Like, and didn't fucking Mythbusters do fucking a thing when they do a shit and it comes out and it crystallizes? And it hit somebody on the ground. I think it was like blue ice.
Well, wasn't there the story about the frozen urine javelin?
What?
Have you heard that one?
What?
Like anyway, a stream of piss for
yeah, like, didn't someone get like stabbed with like a frozen right. That made up that
but you think about I'm how sure many planes there are.
That's awesome. Dude,
is that the piss of death?
Yes.
Piss of death, there you go.
So yeah, getting back to seed saving, it's a thing that everyone should really do. Everyone should make use of any area that they can grow something. Preferably edible, and preserve the seeds, hand them on. You know, I was thinking, I got the idea from Con the gardener on TV. Con he's awesome. Right. I worked with him.
No, Con the Fuhrer, yeah.
And
SBS,
though. Oh, yeah. Gardening Australia. Yeah.
Big hippie dude. Alfred
reckons that he's terrifying. She really likes it. She says, oh, I really love what he does and stuff, but when he smiles, his face becomes like this, like, cartoon monster.
No, he rocks. He's awesome. I worked with him a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Really?
Yeah, he was awesome. But he had an idea of when your plants run to seed, save them, of course. Go up to your library, make a little board with hooks on it.
Yeah.
Put your seeds in a little bag and hang them off the hooks, write down when it was harvested, what it is, etc., and just have a seed swapping service. Just share the seeds around, keep them going. But that's what we've got to avoid. We've totally got to avoid people owning the seed because it's fucking ours, man. Like,
and also just
everyone likes to eat. We're all food junkies. We all need a hit.
But also, like, not just having just one like type of seed. Like, you need the
exactly going back to biodiversity. What you were saying before, it's simply not so much. Well, also a genetically modified thing, but also just in biodiversity in general, you need all these different crops.
Yeah,
you know, to keep it going, because one is bound to fuck out if you keep growing that over and over again. It's bound to fuck out eventually.
One
so
thing that I've had told to me that is like, I don't know if it's like a, you know, a pro genetically modified argument or not, but one of my favorite fruits is banana. Like, that's. I fucking smash several bananas a week. I fucking love that
banana
shit.
Banana bread?
Chop one up, fucking just some fresh cream in a bowl. Oh! Smoothie. I fucking love bananas, man. And I'm told that without genetically modified foods, the banana that I know and love would not exist.
I've heard that. Apparently there's been a big effort to save the banana because it's been fucking out. They've had to... And to get the seeds is a really excruciating process. You know, mash it through numerous filters to get these tiny... Oh, they're tiny.
I think it's like when you bite a banana and there's like...
In the middle there, that core bit.
I think they're the seeds.
I'm not sure. I think they must be.
Meant to, like, in a more... natural growing variety of bananas,
they'd be more significant. Like
that, and they're not as like I don't think they're as big. I think they fall off quicker, and they're meant to like decompose and then release the seed.
I seem to have a memory of like seeds being more a part of bananas, like when I was young.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon. What do you?
The little black seeds.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
I don't know. I feel like I noticed them more, and now it seems. Like, I feel like that with a lot of food, it's like this, like all of
seedless. Well, that's it.
All the inconvenient parts of it.
That might be part of it. Yeah. That might be part of the brand. All these seedless melons and seedless this and that.
I've got to say though, a fucking seedless mandarin is fucking.
They are good.
Like I hate pulling that shit out. I hate it so much that I'll spend 10 minutes.
Taking them out.
But you come to my house,
reaching a seed each one is like,
come to my house in winter and eat off the tree next door.
Oh, you've
and
got you'll
put
tree.
Up with the seeds.
Really?
Next door doesn't. We get enough hanging over. They got orange and mandarins. You got to watch the bats.
How do mandarins grow? Then is it on a tree?
On a tree.
Yeah.
Citrus tree. Oh, I'm right. Thanks, mate. Yeah, they just grow on a tree. But they're delicious, man. You don't worry about the seeds. My in-laws grew the most awesome mangoes I've ever eaten early this year. I've never tasted anything like them.
I'm beautiful. Getting heaps back in the mangoes. It was, I don't know, there was... What time of year is good for mangoes? Is it
between now and February, basically.
Yeah, summer.
November. Summer. November to February. I don't trust people that don't like mangoes.
I don't like mangoes.
I don't get it. How can you not like mangoes?
I'm just not... It's not that I don't like
them. So you're one of them.
It's not that I don't like them.
He fucking lives in Queensland, and he supports fucking Queensland and fucking State of Origin. He doesn't eat fucking mangoes.
I don't eat them. It's just that I'm not a... Like, if there was strawberries and apples and then mango, I'd go fucking mangoes last out of that.
Oh, my God. Really?
Strawberries, mangoes, they're probably my two favourite fruits. And pineapple.
Deep cheek
apricots, man.
The side of
and watermelon.
Mango,
and you get it just the cut perfect where you didn't cut any stone out, but did get the right fleshy cheek out, and you dice that shit up, and the dice bits are like, you know, fucking that big, and you just slurp them off that skin. That is a fucking tasty fruit. We used to live in Queensland, and there was two mango trees within bike rides of our house.
I remember
that shit up hard.
They were fucking like as big as your head.
They were awesome. And they were mangoes.
Fucking huge mangoes,
and they would like take as you want for years. Yeah. But then one of them, I think somebody moved into a house,
and they got shitty.
They figured that it was there, but it wasn't on their property. It was behind their house.
It was on the corner of the street. Remember?
And they fucking they came at us with air gun, BB guns. Oh, see, that's the
how's that for a slice?
Oh.
That's Escher type.
Hang on. Over the other way.
I actually hate photographing food. I always go on Facebook and tell people not to post meals.
I don't fucking care. Here I am
photographing my cut mango.
Ratatouille.
Aren't I a hypocrite?
Mango's the shit.
But anyway, just
a fruit that takes a lot of seed compared to the amount of fruit
you my tree's that big at home.
What, a mango?
Yeah.
So you've just taken a mango seed?
Off the parents-in-law. I put one of them in the garden and it came up.
Really?
Yeah, off the in-law's tree.
Full on.
Yeah.
Does it take a long time?
Oh, God, I don't know. Take years.
They're massive. No. Remember those ones?
They were huge. We were younger.
But, God damn, they were some of the biggest trees I've ever climbed.
They do get massive. One more thing about mangoes, if I could. I'd just like to take this opportunity to publicly diss Calypso mangoes.
Oh, really?
Fucking shit.
You're not a fan of the...
Oh, yeah. It's got to be Kensington Pride all the way. Even the gold ones. I don't know about R2, E2, D2, whatever they're called. They're okay. But, yeah, Calypso's... Speaking of GM, they're just bred for...
You got a lighter? I can do the beer lighter trick.
They're just bred for looks and storage and transport.
Mm.
And they're not bred for taste at all. And the big selling point is more flesh, less seed.
Right.
And just total no flavour they should be adding. Jeez. But
fucking
anyway, Kingston and Pride all the way. Don't buy Calypsos. Let's put them out of business. and one more thing on the seeds, if I could.
Yeah.
Because I think we're running out of time. How's the time?
What time is it?
Six.
Monsanto are doing a lot of lobbying to stop seed trading and swapping and whatnot.
They've got fucking money that have poured into their Terminator seed fucking technology.
Oh, it's evil, yeah.
You can't. What's Terminator seed?
Fucked up.
You can't grow them. They don't grow.
One yield come out of your seed. So you go and buy a bag of fucking Monsanto tomatoes, corn, whatever. Yeah, it grows great and it's Roundup resistant, so you can spray the shit out of that fucking Roundup.
You save a few seeds.
But it won't drop any seeds for you.
No, it'll drop seeds, but you'll go, oh, cool, and you plant them and it's nothing
happens. They're dead.
So they're like one yield.
How crazy is that?
That's wild.
And when you said that they had a hand in the fucking Manhattan Project, like the fact
The list goes on.
How could you fucking lie in your beds knowing that the
plastics, DDT, Agent Orange, pharmaceuticals, a good thing is a Parkinson's drug that they synthesized a compound. Roundup, of course. LED lights, which is probably one of their better ones.
They came up with LED.
Yeah, in the 60s and 70s.
Really?
They made a lot of money with that through calculators, clocks, digital watches.
Right.
They made a lot of money with that. So they're massive. You get the feeling now of how massive they are. They've just been around for so long. They've been in so many industries and made so much freaking money.
Fucking hell.
Not to mention all their military things, you know, with the bomb and Agent Orange, etc.
And did they really care about PR?
They've licensed a lot of their GM technology to other companies like Syngenta or whatever it is.
Right.
A lot of other seed companies are licensing it. So it's out there, you know, it's fully out there. I think patent for it expires this year. I think it's just expired.
Really?
The patent for GM or something like that. Something's expired.
But I think they clearly do care about PR because some of the stuff that they're doing should be way bigger news than it is. So I have to think that they're spending a lot of energy on keeping suppressing. It at a certain level, you know, well below like what it probably should be at.
Oh, definitely. You know? Definitely got to have a hand in it. Like, I mean,
but
have you seen that It's quite a few years old now, but the documentary Outfoxed.
Yeah, it's a great one. Awesome
about Fox News.
Yeah, it's about Fox Rupert. News
and Rupert Murdoch was basically, in a nutshell, handing post-it notes to anchors minutes before the show, telling them, this is the angle that you take This is the opinion you have. This is the way
they're talking about when the culture changed in like 86 and they were used to being a news
notorium,
and then all of a sudden the word came down and they went,
and there was no alternatives, you know, really. It was like these smaller, you know, news agencies that, you know, and then he even bought all of those out. And yeah, I mean, that's, you know, maybe there's a hand in that. Like a Monsanto is going to have, you know, probably a lot of advertising dollars, you know, behind a lot of the major news broadcasts. So, you know, who's going to go out? It's not exactly a story that's like, you know, breaking news. Look at this shit that's going down there.
It takes a lot of explanation. You know, it's not snappy, you know.
And I'm sure there's
Monsanto does this.
I'm sure there's a lot of bunk science out there as well, based around it as
Of course.
You know, and there's probably, you know, as you list some of the things that might be considered good, you know, maybe the power of a corporation that big could only bring us some of the good things that they can do.
They've swallowed up a lot of agri businesses. They've bought up a lot. They're even now moving into the heirloom business. They're buying up a lot of heirloom companies, but they're still continuing it as an option. But they control it. That's the bottom line.
Just the stuff they've done in the agriculture business is fucking unbelievable. There's a documentary called Food Incorporated, I think it's called.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of that.
And I keep getting told like that I should watch it, but beware, and I keep putting it off.
Well, it's beware, because there's a lot of, like, you know, revealing what's in mainstream food and stuff. But one of the more angering parts of it is the cases where they show farmers that have resisted this Monsanto seed, and their neighbours have fucking gotten on board. Cross-pollination has come into their fucking fields, and they've been retroactively sued.
Yeah.
And their whole farm's just taken.
They've moved on from... They went from suing farmers to suing entire states. Now they're suing freaking countries. Guatemala for banning Monsanto or genetically modified. They banned something like that.
I read it.
Now they're going, okay, well, we're going to sue.
But isn't that wasn't there fucking, not with Monsanto, but I mean, this shit starts wars. Like, wasn't the Bay of Pigs like triggered off by some fucking big protest by a fruit growing company in Cuba, and then they've got militant. Yeah, like fucking shit like this has happened before.
Bay of Pigs.
The Cuban Missile Crisis. Sorry, not Bay of Pigs. It was the Cuban Missile Crisis started with this like big protest over like I can't remember what it was. There was like something happened with like a fruit growing company and one of these major like American like companies came in and just basically tried to basically put them out of business, and then it all got fucking hectic.
Well, wasn't that around the time that the Cuban embargo was put in place as well? Was right. During the Cuban
around that process. Yeah.
So this probably makes sense, as there was some kind of, you know, trade, you know, dispute, which would, you know, probably, you know, some kind of food producer would make sense in that. I when you said Bay of Pigs, I just immediately started fucking singing Billy Joel. That's the only reference I have to
We Bay didn't write this fucking
Bay
song.
Pigs and Bees, that part of that song, yeah.
Can I know we're running out of time, but can I bring something up that I came across like a few weeks ago that I was absolutely gobsmacked by? Have you guys heard about like Peter and these fucking people that are going out and fucking kidnapping people's dogs and fucking putting them down?
No.
That was in America. It's been happening in the UK. It never occurred to me. I didn't know anything about this. I did like quite a bit of research and found that there are just so many reports about PETA and what a fucked up organisation it is when it comes to house pets and stuff like that. I mean, I think like people have had like some bad connotations with PETA with stuff like throwing paint on people that are wearing fur and stuff like that, and they're quite confrontational and stuff like that. That is not what I'm talking about at all. Someone posted
this. This is more fucking Final Solution shit, man. This is just
brutal Final Solution shit. So basically what happened was, there was a woman pulls up to a house. It was all caught on video camera. A woman pulls up to a house in a PETA van.
Mm.
and there's a dog on the front veranda of this house. No one's home. Maybe the front door's open. But anyway, the dog is there, right, on its own property. This woman comes up, looks around, grabs the dog, puts it in the van and drives off, all caught on video. The people come home and like, where's the fucking dog?
What the fuck, man?
Where's the dog? What the fuck is going on? What is going on? Listen, I'll tell you the story. This is what I found out. They're like, where's the fucking dog? They look at the video camera footage and go, what the fuck? They ring up Peter and they're like, oh, the dog's been put down.
What?
So is this like they're treating themselves like child services and coming in and this is not a good environment?
Yeah, they're called dogs.
Right. And dude, not only, okay, and this is where it gets fucking crazy. Because I started reading up on it and Peter have announced themselves as an organisation where it's like any strays or unwanted animals or whatever, you know, we'll take them on and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. They are killing 96% of them within the fucking first, like, 24 hours.
Yeah, I've heard.
They are not keeping any of them. They're not even, like, advertising them.
The same thing goes on at the pounds, though.
No, but they're not even advertising them to be, for people to be able to adopt them or anything. It's like within the first 24 hours. In fact, to the point where I saw a letter of inspection where someone came around and they are classing themselves as an animal shelter.
Yeah.
And they go around and it's like, where's the animal shelter?
Yeah.
So have they put out a statement or anything? Huh? Have they put out a statement about this?
Peter hadn't responded to this article that I had read. No, they hadn't put out a statement at the time that I read this. But then I just read more and more and apparently it's like the mentality that's coming down from on top within that organisation is that animals should not be kept as pets.
Mm. That's there's some fucking craziness. I can tell you another crazy.
To the point where it's like they're fucking like putting all these animals down and like taking animals from fucking people's houses.
Well, that's the line they're crossing. What you know, they're kidnapping a family member. You know, like, that's fucked up, man.
I mean, they told this whole personal story of the young girl that, like, you know, they were an immigrant family and the parents are out working and the young girl had, like, had trouble adjusting. It's very sad and it adds to the tragedy of the situation, but it doesn't really... It's not...
Trespassing on somebody else's property.
But just the basic facts of, like, what is going on. Like,
it seems to be this weird fucking built-in flaw into what we call modern human society. It really is, because every time I watch a charitable organization, it gets to this critical mass where it fucking becomes more harm than good. And there's a lot of reasons why that happens. It becomes that you get like people that now their career is based off that cause. You know,
And then it's like the onus, the focus shifts to maintaining.
Yeah, like it becomes profit driven, really.
Yeah,
in a funny way.
People say that about like things like the cancer council. I'm not saying that, but I have heard people say that about things like the cancer council and all these cancer organisations. It's like, where is the incentive for them to actually cure cancer?
It's a
conflict of interest.
You've opened up a whole new topic there, Mitch. Yeah. That's a cure for cancer.
I'm just saying I've heard that said. I'm not saying I agree with it.
It makes sense though. Like when someone lays it down for you, that isn't it more profitable for them to treat it than it have it cured?
Mm.
And that makes you go, I don't know. There's a lot of fucking fuckery that has to go into play for that to actually be real. For people going, you know, does that mean that there's somebody with a cure right now? And no. Five more years. You know, I've got a 250K fucking salary. I need 5 more years and then we can pull it out. It's like, but my grandma needs it now. No. There's too much at stake. I don't think it's like that, but I do think that they, as I was saying, there's a critical mass point with charities where people start to get fucking CEO level fucking salaries based off it. They become celebrities based off just spruiking this cause, you know? Fucking, we've seen it a million times where fucking Jennifer Lopez, I think,
got Jennifer caught out Lopez. Doing
it, where she was talking about some country she visited and the fucking, you know, she felt the connection with the people there and turned out she'd never visited there.
Well, unfortunately,
fact checked. You know, there's that whole element of celebrity through charity, and it's almost as if you know, accept me being shoved down your fucking throat because it's for a good cause. You know?
Okay, Barnsley, look, we talked about this last time. I mentioned it to you off the air after we'd done our very first podcast, and I told you guys that I balked away from saying it at the time, but I think now is the time. I am going to announce it. I'm going to say to all the listeners and the viewers of the Barnsley podcast, we want to start a brand new viral video because we're all a bit upset that Coney has gone off the radar. Right? Now, we've had the ice bucket challenge. Okay, and that went like super viral. It's a great thing where you in a viral sense, I don't know about the logistics of how it actually ended up helping anyone, but in terms of just purely from a viral like point of view, like that worked very effectively with the Ice Bucket Challenge, nominating someone else. So what we want to do is we want to bring back Coney. We want to do the Street Wank Off Challenge, which is like where like the guy that did the Coney viral campaign back in 2012, Coney 2012, rip off all your clothes. Go to a street corner, start wanking yourself off and shouting at oncoming traffic, and nominate like three other people to do the next like wank off challenge. This thing is going to go viral. You heard it first on the Barnsley podcast.
Yeah. Right? Hashtag wank challenge.
On that note, I'm going home.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Barnsley podcast. We'll be back soon.
Yeah. Give us suggestions, comments, you know, upvotes, all that kind of shit.
Thanks to everyone that's been downloading us on iTunes and on Stitcher. As always, we do have the audio-only versions, so look underneath the video description for the links to that, and we'll be back very soon. Thanks, Mitch, and thanks, Jezza.
Thanks for having me.